And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
and declare your independence from here to Sandcock here in Visa Zone IA from the BEAU T-Full Studios of Freedom's of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking for, they built a rocket in their garage. You want to look at that. And there's a 3D printing of a rocket from the beginning to the end. 3D printing. They probably put in the 3D printing category. Dang it, needs to go into space stuff too. Because we're looking at the front page of... And all of a sudden, we're having all kinds of new and innovative technologies. And I'm wondering, because one is Moonrise to bring 3D laser printing to the lunar surface. Well, then they're making rockets out of titanium from 3D printing from the nozzle up. Boom, done. Slap that stuff, fuel, let's go. And I'm going, ooh, that's good. And I'm wondering if you're looking into the future and you're going, where would I invest? If I have faith in, if I'm so sure, they used to do this in the energy sector. They do it in 3D printing sector. They do it in, self-driving AI category of technology of something. Then technology starts splitting into 15 gazillion different things. And they're going, yeah, I remember when fiber optics was a big deal. You invest in that, invest. And I'm going, is there a fund? Is Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor, going to do a Liberty Fund? Is there a future of fund of 20-year out in the fund? Are you one of those guys, Tim? Are you going to hook me up with a category that I might want to invest in? Or how do you select for the peoples?
Well, good morning, everybody. When it comes to funds, of course, there's all sorts of rules and regulations and BS you've got to go through. So unfortunately right now, I don't have, like $100,000 a year to just dump into compliance to run one of these funds. But we do manage separately managed accounts for people where they can go off into other areas if they choose.
Well, it doesn't have to be a fund. It's just a stock pick list of the LibertyAdvisor.com, Tim Pachote. Tim Pachote, Crypto Self Direct. He's got to where now you can take advantage of cryptocurrencies, and he knows what you're talking about and how to and in the future. And that's one, just like you did that category. Is there some other stuff? Are you looking at different? Here comes an up-and-comer. How do you determine what to invest in?
Well, right now, I think it's actually, and I'm pulling up a chart of what Bitcoin's done. Actually, since last week, Bitcoin's up almost 14%. Ethereum up 16%. Ripple, that's up a lot too, 23%. EOS, 36%. Bitcoin Cash up nearly 20%. That's just the past week.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Do I take profits? Is it now? Is it time? Is it done? I go in, I take it, or I leave it there?
I think it sort of depends where people are at. So, I can't just give a general advice, but if you bought Bitcoin at, $5 and you're sitting on, millions and millions of dollars of Bitcoin and you don't really have a lot of other assets in other places, I think at that point it makes sense to take a little bit of money off the table and maybe diversify out into other areas and do so in a tax-efficient manner. So we do actually have a couple of your listeners right now who we are – one of these phone calls I actually have right after this program – there's a guy who got in double digits Bitcoin, and he's got a lot on the table. And right now, everything is pretty much in that camp. A lot of stuff is in that bucket, and so we're able to get into one of these trusts. And this is not a one size fits all solution. So it's not like more people than not are going to be basically, I'm going to turn down from this because it's not designed for everybody, just based on how the laws and everything are written. So it's not like I'm just trying to sell this to everybody. Most people, probably going to convince them not to do it. But there's a lot of different ways to do things. There's more than one arrow in my quiver of how people can best take advantage of this. But if you're just now, you know, getting into Bitcoin, I wouldn't, you know, in terms of taking profits off the table, I don't do a whole lot of trading. I think, you know, at the end of the day, a lot, you know, you see a meme where it was like a guy who's, you know, shows a guy who's like 80 years old that goes, I'm only 25 years old and crypto trading isn't stressful at all. And so I think a lot of these people, like, after everything is all said and done, can you be profitable? Can you make money trading? Yeah, you can. But, you know, you can make money, you know, hodling and stacking the right ones and, you know, buying, you know.
When well, that's not the big there. Advantage that we got. I remember when we first started talking to you about this and you went, you know, down the road, man. I mean, you know, power to you. And, you know, it was because Bitcoin went from, you know, most of my friends probably buying in below 1,000. You know, I mean, as I'm going, God, you paid $800,000 for that? God, man, because I'm in back in the days of, you know, $5, $10. And I'm going, damn, man, you wish you had. But what happens is, how do they get into the system? Do they got to claim it? You know, and then when they have it and it starts taking even more gains now and it goes, how much taxes they got to pay out? So this is where you came in. You're going, yeah, it's a good idea if you want to legitimize your money and anybody even know about it for whatever reason. What would be reasons that they would even do that? A lot of these people, they have it, you know, stored off. Is it because, damn, they know I got it from a coin desk of something, whatever, and I gotta, you know, they know I got it, so I gotta put it somewhere they're not gonna tax it, or they want to legitimize because they want to drive around in a Lamborghini or something? I mean, what's the motivation for them to even try and just to diversify? You know, it's like, you know, I'd like to have some silver and real estate and, you know, diversify my portfolio. You know, why? If they got confidence it's going to keep going up, tell what's the use case that they would come to you and do this?
Yeah, so I'm not trying to get anybody, you know, on the grid and let people, you know exactly where they are. I'm sure, you know, half the audience is probably, you know, rolling their eyes or scoffing and be like, well, hell, I know how to keep my Bitcoin from paying taxes. I'm just not going to tell them. And, you know, that's one thing if you've got, you know, a few $100 here, a few $1,000 there to do that kind of gains. But if you bought into Bitcoin at, you know, $2, and now you're sitting on $25 million, well, now you've got a big problem, because how are you going to get, you know, part of that $25 million and spend it without raising some major red flags? And you can, you know, do things
4,999.99 at a time.
And then, that triggers different. Forgot the cost. Suspicious activity reports as well.
So they
do things where if you're, you know, looks like you're trying to evade it, then that's a trigger. And if you're going over it, and that's a trigger. And if you're into crypto, then that's a trigger. If it's coming from Coinbase, it's a trigger. And so they basically, you know, they didn't get Al Capone for all the different crimes he committed. They got Al Capone off tax evasion. And so if you bought into Bitcoin at a very, very low level, or any of these cryptocurrencies at a very, very low level, and now that level is at a point where you can live out all of your dreams and so much more, and maybe still keep a lot in Bitcoin and crypto. I'm obviously very bullish, and I like this sector, and that's something that, you know, is becoming a lifestyle for me, is, you know, I try to keep more in crypto and Bitcoin than I do in regular fiat money anyways. So I'm all with people, but you need to have, you know, for especially for a lot of people, like, hey, if you're, you know, if living off 100 or 200,000 grand a year is your ideal lifestyle, and I'm just throwing out random numbers here, you know, why don't we take a little bit off the table, get it, you know, through safe ways of, you know, having that money come in. And then maybe now you still have, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions on the sidelines that's still in Bitcoin. And there's all sorts of different things we can do. So you get massive tax breaks for putting your money into these trusts, and then you can use that to then sell your Bitcoin that's not into these areas, and then get a new step up in basis. So let's say you bought Bitcoin at $5, and now you put some money into this trust, get a big tax break, then you could sell some of your other Bitcoin and then buy it right back. And then now, instead of having a cost basis at $5, you have a cost basis at $9,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. But the point is, you want to do this now and at least have this waiting in the wings. Because if, let's say, by the time, you know, we have the initial discussions and we figure out if it's right for you, it could be 3 months later and the price could go from $10,000 to $30,000 back down to $5,000, and we just missed the boat for another year or two.
There's so many reasons to diversify. I'm for, like, yeah, when it starts going up a lot and I got, you know, I don't have a gazillion, but it's enough that I go, yeah, I think I need to buy some silver with that. When you say, yeah, I'm worth it, yeah, you could be half that next week. Stocks, this, that. precious metals, maybe?
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, we did the commercial. Now let's start talking about, you know, the circumstances of. Do you have anything to say on the European elections? What taxes, trade, whatever the hell is going on here that'll affect, you know, oil prices of do we care?
I think the European stuff would probably be better for Dr. Frank or for us to spar off on all that stuff. But for right now, I'm not keeping too much.
Well, what about China, you know, treasury bonds and trade agreements and all that crap?
Yeah, so I did want to talk about, and I do have a clip from, it's like a 20-second clip from Jim Cramer where he's talking about, you know, how you never want to fight the bond market. And then we can kind of parlay into right now is another current time where the...
Why do I give a crap what Cramer says?
Well, you shouldn't, but every now and then, you know, he... It's sort of like, you know, even Cramer's, you know, saying this. Basically, he's saying don't fight the bond market because the bond market is signaling recession right now. And a lot of, global...
All right, well, let's make that point going in before we give him too much street cred because whatever he says, I
usually would just listen to him to know what to do the opposite
right.
of.
So, all right, so we're coming back. 10 seconds. Here we go.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, this is, what are we looking at? You know, we're looking at, you know, there's lots of changes and big changes are coming to changes here in economics, and you need somebody just to help keep your crap straight and kind of, you know, conservative. I want to get some gains, but the biggest thing is I don't want to lose everything. And when the 08, 09 years came all the way through 11 and so on, everybody was, you know, two things happened. One, they were shocked to crap. They lost a bunch of their money. And any money they had to spend, they didn't have the residual income coming in or being able to sell stuff high. They were selling low just to pay bills, and they lost all their principal. And this kind of one thing, sequence of return thing that Tim was going on about, and they got screwed. So now we're in, it's riding high now. How can you do it? You've been happy if you at least kept your money in 08, 09, wouldn't you? You know, you go, well, if you talk, well, we were screaming it from the, you know, highest mountain, you know, what, you got. So now we have Liberty Advisors there going, look, man, let's make sure you keep what you got. You benefit from not paying all these taxes on the gains, and oh my God, you might make a bunch of money if certain things happen anyway. But the big thing is we keeping it and then making some. So I'm going, all right, in what environment? You know, what's that? I keep hearing about the stock market, bond market. They keep, you know, they're supposed to be kind of mirror reflections of each other. They opposite, they go, now they're the same. They're not, all that gobbledygook, it always has been everything, and Jim Cramer says. Well, I don't give a crap. But, you know, what's the buzz out there? What are they talking about when they say this red flag and this trigger? And I see all these stories on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, I go see them. I have staff put them up. I read the headlines. That doesn't mean anything to me, you know, other than that, you know, stuff be a happening. I go and look 10 years ago. I go into the categories that we have and we've been covering. You'll see one of these, you know, general opinion or Ron Ball says or China or economics, technocracy, science. You know, I go into housing. You know, I go back and I go, boom. What was 10 years ago in that category? It's the same thing going on. So this discussion about fighting the bond market, bonds versus stocks, the interest rates in different countries in Europe, I have no idea. Clear it up for me. The LibertyAdvisor.com temperature, go.
All right, so what we have going on now, and I'm going to go share a video clip with you guys, is we have Jim Cramer, and I'm only sharing this to say, you know, even Jim Cramer, you know, a broken clock is, you know, right, you know, every now, at least twice. So I don't respect Jim at all. I'm only, you know, usually listening to him to see what to do the opposite. But even he's talking about how basically don't fight the bond market because the bond market is signaling signs of recession. So I'm going to go to the clip right now. From CNBS, as I like to call it, and here we go.
All the Dallas Fed, the Chicago Fed, all these points of data that some say have a recessionary whiff, right?
Look,
they or don't they?
I have learned to never fight the bond market, even when it's wrong. I mean, I listened to a guest speak on Squawk saying, look, if you're a German fiduciary, you're going to buy U.S. bonds. Actually, if you're any fiduciary anywhere, you'd buy U.S. bonds. Plus, the dollar keeps going higher, so it's an ideal thing. But nobody is willing to ever say the bond market's wrong.
And so I knew that, like, a follow-up question you'd have would be, you know, hey, why would anybody get into bonds? It's something that you would, you know, ask about quite frequently. And I think one of those reasons is because, you know, if you, you know, are one of these fiduciaries and, you know, at a big pension fund or a big, you know, sovereign wealth fund, you're going to be buying U.S. Treasury. So it keeps a demand. Okay. Don't need more proof. More proof that everything I say is crap. But if we, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to head over to, it's a website called Trading Economics. Good place to find a lot of data. And so I'm looking at the 10-year bond right now is paying 2.37%. And what you have here at a, let's go, 6-month bond is paying 2.42%.
Now, why the hell would I put, you know, into one that's a longer when I got a shorter that's higher?
Because right now what the expectation is, let's say somebody, you know, has a boatload, you're Berkshire Hathaway and you've got, you know, $50 billion sitting on the sidelines. If you think that, and what they eventually think is that that's maybe that sick, if you keep putting it in 6 months, what they're signaling is that eventually, maybe a year or two down the road, that 6 month rate might be 1%. And now you would have been hypothetically better off if you were wanted to lock your money up for 10 years. Let's make that caveat. You would have been better off keeping it in the 10-year one because then you would have gotten 2.37%.
But you can sell it, right? I mean, I got, so I'm taking my 10 year and I'm locked in and I'm going, yeah, I want to sell. But when the bond rates go down, the one that you have is worth more, isn't it?
Yeah. So you want to be selling into bond, decreasing bond rates. You do not want to be selling into increasing bond rates because an increasing bond rate it has an inverse relationship. So it sort of works like a teeter-totter. So if the rates go down, the underlying value of the bond goes up. If the rates go up, the underlying value of the bond goes down. So just think of it like a teeter-totter, which might be somewhat counterintuitive.
Yeah, but we're talking at such small percent. I know you're talking big, giant gobs of money, but they even the banks, they are. Countries are doing it right now. They're going, you know what? Selling the debt and we're getting some gold. We're going to get some. We're going to get. It's $14 and something. And oh my God, I think it's underpriced. And 2% kiss my butt. I'm going for a 50% increase. Hell, I'll buy me some crypto. What the hell? I'm going. I don't understand why it's such big, large. Or are they? Is this just a, you know, a faint? Is this just the surface? Is there something else going into these other commodities and so on? Or are they just parking big giant lobs of cash because it's more liquid on the market? I still don't understand why they're putting it in the dollar debt at 2% when inflation is 3-4 times that. I don't get it, man. You got to help me out.
Well, I could justify why they're trying to do that, but personally, our clients do not have bonds, or maybe there might be a few people here or there that might have a tiny bit here or there, but by and large, our clients don't have bonds, because what I'm really trying to play out, and I'll try to pull up a chart now of the Dow, is what we're really trying to do is I think that the market has been relatively flat basically for a year and a half. Prior to Trump getting elected, it was flat for probably 2 or 3 years. And so I think there's going to be either a big break up or a big break down. If you think there's going to be a big break down, you'd rather keep your money in bonds and at least maybe lose 1% or 2% to inflation, or maybe keep up with the Joneses and keep your U.S. dollar value stable versus having it going down 20, 30, 40, 50%. So that would be the rationale. But we're personally having a different strategy where if the market soars, you know, we're going to be able to get more upside than the people that were in bonds. And if the market crashes, I think we're going to have less downside than the people that were in bonds. So I've sort of have it. And then with that said, nothing is a one size fits all strategy.
Well, I need a one size. I get some precious metals as part of your thing or not. And how would you do that? And I want the whole, it's just like having the private keys to my crypto. I don't want some firm of, I went through this with gold money. It's kind of your money. You just can't have it now. It took, you know, like a year for me to get some lost gold in the shipping back. And I'm like, this is neon flashing, perfect example. Derek Slopey and I had, you know, similar experiences of, it's not yours. So I'm just going, I want, is any part of this, I'm going to rake off some profit and goodie. And I got, you're right, I even had, you know, a young woman, you know, a trust baby we met in Hawaii. And she's like, yeah, my accountant, I was trying to sell you a little bit here. She's like, yeah, you should put some money in the safety deposit box. And I'm going, I'm not even feeling good about the safety deposit box. So I'm wondering where I'm going to get. It's mine. I got it right here. I want to McDucket and roll around it and stuff. We'll talk. You feel me? I'm just, you know, where can I take my profit like a deed in a... We have, you know, one of the guys from... California working with Donna until it got to where he had very complex, he wanted to do the contract himself. It got to the point to where the, you know, real estate brokers and they go, yeah, you know, you need to, you know, kind of, we'll, you know, kind of help you along and here and kind of peace out. But that's the very reason why he wanted to do custom contracts, is to eliminate a lot of this ties and a lot of, can you have an asset that's yours over here they don't know about, or they can't tax, or it's in a trust, a blah, 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 blah. This mindset, I'm hip to this. I'm like, I just need to, you know, what's my, I might not be able to roll around in my condo, you know, but I can my silver and gold. So I'm just, where is the asset that I got? And then, well, it's bonds. And it pays a couple percent and kind of, you know, they're going, they can take that as much as they do it. Just ask France, you know? So I'm the guy in the first hour, we're talking about, you know, what's going on in European Union and yada, yada, yada. So I'm, when I rake off and you go, take some of my profits, what the hell does that mean to you, Tim? How do I take my profits?
Well, that's going to really just depend on what vehicle your profits are in. It depends if your vehicles are in, you know, a taxable account, or if it's in an IRA, or if it's in a 401k, and what's the best, because you also have to figure out your after tax exposure to this. Yeah. And I guess to back up to your previous statement, you know, a lot of clients, especially ones that are coming from the Liberty community, they already have a lot of gold and silver outside of the system, which is what I'd recommend. I wouldn't recommend getting it into the system, but I also have a lot of people who could basically give, you know, two you know what's about having gold or silver, and I'm not going to be able to say, hey, go here and go to this place and go order online, and they're not going to care. And for them, you know, just doing it through the stock market means, I think it's better than having nothing. But, you know, it just depends on what these people, you know, because I can't go and just go buy them a whole hunk of silver and just go, you know, drop it at their doorstep. You know, there's different, you know, problems with me if I were to try to do that. But, you know, but yeah, for the people that are coming from the Liberty community that are already heavily invested into gold and silver, I recommend they just hold on to it like they're doing now. And for the people that aren't into this community, I recommend they hold on to it physically. But if they don't want to and they're too lazy.
Well, no, I mean, did they even get some? Is that advice? And if it's a percentage, 3%, 5%, 10%, 20%, should you get some precious metals or not?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just recently got a guy who's basically hardcore liberal, disagrees with me on everything. And I put some gold into his account. So, you know, we'll go see, and some gold miners. Because we think that might have more of a pop on it than particularly the gold, especially since he doesn't want to hold it physically. So, so we are putting this in people's accounts. If someone isn't into crypto, I've been sort of hesitant or reticent to, you know, get him into some of these other, because there are some ways to play crypto in the stock market, which one guy in particular has done very, very well, because we were waiting to set up his self-directed IRA. It was taking a little while. So I'm like, all right, let's just put it into this one stock that basically represents Bitcoin. And, you know, it's probably, I didn't look at it. Last time I checked, it was up like 150%. That was probably like when Bitcoin was closer to like 6,500. So
yeah, but I'm like, you know, yay, let's take some profit or not, or some, or just leave it, or hodling, or yeah. See, I don't know. I mean, the options, it's never been more,
I think it depends,
diverse and volatility of making money as it has been of late, has it?
No, yeah, it's sort of a crazy time right now. And what I'll do is when we come back from break, maybe I'll share a chart.
All right, well, here we're coming back. Let's do it.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Today! You know, this is, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. I just feel this is when it happens. It's all this volatility in markets. It's volatility and diversity of investments. There's all kinds of changes. And all of a sudden you go, you know, I've felt this before. And what happened last time? Mushroom cloud, threat, death, dying, destruction, revolt, revolution. You know, let's have a levolution. I want to do a levolution. Well, Tim Pachote, thelibertyadvisor.com, he's here. You know, your screen went funky on me. Are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. I was doing a screen share, but I think you paused it. The screen sharing abilities.
I did? There's like a button I got to push? All right. No, you had screen shares up there before.
Yeah, I did. All right, let's see if we're back here. Can you see my screen?
There it is.
All right, cool. All right. Yeah, so what we're seeing now, and I've got like my camera like right over where this is, so I'm trying to interpret here. But if you really go back to January of 2018 to now, I mean, the Dow Jones has basically done absolutely nothing. You go back to some previous times too, like let's say from 2014 to Trump got elected, the Dow did nothing, and then it exploded. And so everyone had all this hope of everything that was going to go great. And so right now, I feel like we're sort of setting up for a similar thing where we're either setting up for it to go down big or setting up for it to go up big. And the up big case is that we print a whole bunch of money, and the Federal Reserve has already said the next game plan, what they're going to do is they're going to target an interest rate. Last time what they did was, I mean, well, they set the Fed funds at zero, and then they said, hey, we're going to buy, I forgot the exact amount, like $80 billion a month. Actually,
I put that chart back up. I had the camera on a different, I'm looking at the wrong monitor here. Go ahead and put the chart back up with you, and you know, so people can see what you're talking about.
Yeah, so here we've got, you know, January of 2018, which is actually crazy because you and I did a show on January 25th, and it was one of the first times where I was like, listen, I don't talk about, you know, it's gloom and doom all that often, but like right now is a time where, you know, we need to act. And that was the global stock market peak. And then you got, and you actually started, did like a great thing where you're like, you know, you need to get the lifeboats right now. And so if this ends up being the actual global stock market peak, we've got that clip, you know, right from like the very, very tippy top. But also what I want to show is if you go back to 2014, you know, before Trump got elected, I mean, it was basically, you know, pretty flat for, you know, better part of 2 years. And then if you go back, I guess, even further, I'm trying to, for some reason, I think the screen blew up too much. I'm trying to, all right. Of course, I've got, anyways, I'll find a better chart of this. But anyways, I think that things are either going to, they're setting up to break up big because of more money printing, or breaking down big because...
See, when it goes up, inflation in prices is because of, you know, eventually the result of inflation in money supply. And, you know, they just, you know, keep printing it. Well, the inflation, it's like having the stock market, you know, in my lifetime, oh my God, it broke 10,000, you know? Oh my God, it broke 4,000, 8,000, 10,000. And if you go back, you know, a decade before and you say, yeah, but the value of the dollar lost 40%. So that number don't mean squat to me. So I got 25,000 whatever now, and I'm going, you know, the Dow, which is 30 stocks that keep changing anyway. You know, General Electric gets dropped off of it and replaced by, you know, Fred's toothbrushes or something. I mean, I have no idea. So that doesn't mean anything to me. You know, you got the S&P 500, that may have a little bit more to it, but it's still just it's a result of the inflation, the inflating, you know, or depreciation of the value of the dollars, because 25,000 now means what, 8,000 before? I don't know. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Then you have to get into, you know, well, if you, you know, everyone's like bases things off the GDP. Okay, well, what's the GDP? We go spend, let's say, $1 trillion bombing Venezuela and Iran, and our GDP goes up $1 trillion.
Yeah, and then spend a bunch of money building it back up and bridges and stuff.
Yeah,
so that, our GDP's up.
Okay, great. So we spent a bunch of money we didn't have that we had to borrow from China that we're getting into a trade war with to go bomb all these other places and then go rebuild them up. So then that way, you know, Northrop Grumman and Bear, or not Bear, I guess, yeah, they got their own problem. All these, you know, big military industrial complex companies makes, you know, billions and billions of dollars. And so that's, you know, people are touting up the GDP. Well, if it wasn't for Trump printing all this money, you know, which, you know, where are all the conservatives now? And I know I got a lot of people mad at me for, you know, criticizing Trump, but, you know, if this was Hillary spending this much money, a lot of people, including Frank, would be up in arms right now. But all the Republicans are trust the plan. Let's lay down. Q's got it. You know, just we need the Superman to come in to save us. You know, I'm an Iron Man, so I don't need any Superman to come in and save me. Everyone always needs, you know, some, you know, godlike figure, and people think Trump is that guy. Then you take a look at how else the GDP number is impacted. It's impacted by the inflation rate. So the higher the inflation rate, the lower the GDP, all things being equal. So they game the inflation rate by saying, oh, we will only have 1%, even though it might really be, you know, 5 or 6. Because if you had inflation, let's say, at 4% and the GDP was growing at 4%, it would cancel it out and it would be at 0. And so it's the GDP deflator, which comes from the inflation number, is one way they rig it. And then you got to get into the GDP data that, oh, hey, you know, it costs more money to have our kids get indoctrinated going to schooling. So, oh, that's great for the GDP. Or my healthcare goes up 100%. That's great for the GDP. Or my gas costs more money. It's great for the GDP. But it's not, I'm just trying to say the GDP is a piss poor measurement. A lot of Trump people agree with me on that, but now that Trump's in, it's, oh, well, that's the measurement we always use, so now we've got to go tout up our own bullshit number, because that's what we do, and if you don't like it, then you're just a damn communist. And so I've gotten, you know, a lot of arrows from a lot of people for talking about this, but the thing that pissed me off most about Trump was how he's completely turned his back on all these economic data and numbers, not to mention, you know, going to war in Syria, and, you know, in blocking the arms sale to Yemen, and I think Congress or somebody else blocked. Oh, I have got breaking news for you that I was going to do a video with you on Sunday. I've seen nobody talk about this.
All right, you got 90 seconds. Go before the break. Or you want to hold off till after and get everybody on the edge of their seat?
Let's get everybody on the edge of their seat.
Edge of their seat! Tim's going to say something about something. You better not forget.
I have seen no one in the financial media or anywhere else talk about this, but Congress just passed something called the Secure Act. And, of course, you know it's going to be bad. I don't have the acronym in front of me, but it's like saving everyone's retirement, something, something, something.
Oh, secure!
And there's a couple like little like breadcrumbs that they give to people, but on the back end, there is a massive stealth, probably one of the biggest tax increases, like robberies in the history of this country. And because I was like, all right, it's called the Secure Act. That's trigger number one, that there's probably some bad shit in here. And I'm like, trigger number two is that only had like 3 no votes out of everybody. So I'm like, that was red flag number two, that there's something bad in there. So I actually went into the text, went into the bill. Then I went into the Senate version. That's even worse. And this is a very, very tricky, only if you're really like a financial planner and like sort of, unless you're like me, you wouldn't really pick up on like what is hidden in the bill.
The verbiage, what it allows and prevents, and kind of the, yeah.
Because, you know, they give it, they, you know, there's some breadcrumbs that they give the people. And so, you know, and so we'll talk about the good things, save the bad part for after break. But they are raising the required minimum distribution age to 72. So right now, if you're, it's actually technically right now, it's the April 1st after you turn 70 and a half. It's the dumbest number ever, is when you're required to start taking money out of your IRAs and 401ks, provided that you are.
Well, they want you to leave it in a little bit longer, makes me kind of nervous. You're saying they're forcing you to take it out. You got to take it out. You got to spend it. Got to put it in the talking
pan. It's a smoke screen. Well, they want you looking over here.
Yeah, they want it there. Why do they want it there, Tim? They want it there.
Because they're going to screw you. They
need it. We need a couple more years of it there. There's a reason. No.
This is big. They're giving you a little bit up front to get you looking over here, and they massively screw you on the back end.
All right. We're going to find out about this. See? We're going to hook you up. Find out what's going on. Because that's one thing about this is that your IRA, your retirement, it's hard to get access to it to go put it into something. I want to do that. Well, Tim's going to help you with that. That was one thing my brother-in-law, which big VP Moody's, you know, super geek economist on his business card guy. And when the last time he started thinking, yeah, Ernie's been going on about this, man. I think I should go get some. And it was like 13 back then, you know, 10, 13, 15, whatever. And then it shot up to, oh my God. And they're going, man, we need to get, I mean, you should already got it. I mean, now you always buy it. It's always going to be better than not. But he couldn't get it. And here's Mr., you know, Wall Street individual, you know, and he goes, well, I can't get and buy the metal. I have to go in the regulation of the, well, this sucks. And I'm going, yeah, it does. Why do you think that is? Now, with using your system, you set this up, you can or cannot take some of your retirement and actually put it into physical, I get to hold it, precious metals or not?
Yes, you can.
Boom. Okay. This has been, you know, they say, no, you can't and got to do
it. You can't hold it at your house. We'll make that caveat. So a lot of people try saying you can. Absolutely, you can't. I recommend that you don't even mess around with the gold inside your IRA to begin with. It's better off just having it, you know, buried in your yard or something.
Yeah, they have their retirement. Where's most of the money? You know, somebody's worked their whole life and they're, you know, 67 and a half of I want to use some, get ready for my 70, 72, where they keep changing it. And you go, I got to spend it. I got to take it out. You know, it's like some of the guys that we know, you know, they go, hey, man, I got to do something with it. Well, I'd like to have some. Yeah, you can't. You need to put it over. It's like the government passes laws and restrictions for my money, for me to be able to buy precious metals. There is every roadblock for that. And I'm going, that is the only reason they just don't outlaw ban it is because they can't. You know, so I mean, physically can't. I just go buy it. What do you know? So this is, I'm
trying to ban, Congress is trying to ban Bitcoin. So, yeah, Brad
yeah,
Sherman.
I go, good. You know, do it. I if it matters what you do, then it's the wrong tech anyway.
Probably make the price go up.
Yeah, so. That's my point. I'm going, you know, they'll ban it. I go, good, let them. Because if it can't survive a government banning, then it's the wrong tech. I don't want it. You know, if it's dependent on some law, screw them. They go, oh, it's going to be wide adoption. The price is going to go. I don't give a shit about the price. I give a crap about its usability. I give a crap about its privacy, its anonymity, its immutability. All these features they promised me, and they're willing to give up any and all of them just for an Uncle Sam seal of approval. And I'm going, oh, that'll make it better. You know, God, I'm just, you know, I hate this crap. So that's why I'm going to the
Speaking of which, Calvin Ayer came out and said that BSV, Bitcoin, Satoshi's vision, is eventually going to roll up everything in the crypto space because it's the regulated one that everyone's going to want to build and scale on. I saw this like...
Fine, and he's probably right. He's probably right. There's going to be everyone, meaning everybody with shiny badge and government, and we want to rule you, and we tell you how and when and the regulated permit up. I'm going, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of those. And there's going to be a whole shitload of we're not that. And to think that they're going to, you know, make all these go away and bring it over to that, I'm going, based on what history? I where do they even come up with that concept? All right, here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Tim Pachota, Liberty Advisor. You know, it's good to have someone that we can talk about. Yeah, it goes up, down, you know, whatever happens, you know, what's going to be, how safe am I? And where do I got to be? And where do I got to live? In the first hour, we talked to a gentleman about a new book that he's written. We've had him on the last couple of books from the Netherlands. And we were talking about the European Union vote and what he... And his big thing was, we need the European Union. European Union, good. Okay. Can you use force to prevent somebody from leaving? You know, I mean, what if they want to leave? Are they allowed? You know, yeah, but we got to have free trade and open borders and, you know, this and that. And I go, fine. Do you need European Union to do that? Hell, that's what they're promising. They're screwing it up. What about freedom's the answer? What's then we talk in the second hour with another candidate for Libertarian POTUS. You know, he'd run for President of the United States of America on taxation is theft. Damn it. You guys got it. So we had like two different, what Tim's doing is like, it doesn't matter. You know, it goes up, it goes down. You got the man passing this law doing it. We're trying to protect all of what you built over these decades because a lot of people, a lot of my friends, they got their ass kicked in 08, 09, and some of them were able to just wait it out, keep putting their retirement, you know, it'll go up, it'll go up. Now it's up. And they're going, all right. Well, it's going to keep going up. Is it going to keep going? You know, do you want to protect it? You were worried that you wouldn't be able to retire back then. Now you can if you manage it right. And you better freaking start taking it seriously because, damn, here she come. What? I have no idea, but it's time to something. What's it time to do?
Well, I thought it was going to be a good time for us to get into the new SECURE Act of how Congress is going to screw us.
There we go.
Because I was gonna give the I was gonna make a video of this on Monday, and then my wife had friends coming over, and didn't work out. And then Josh Sigerson and I were gonna do a video yesterday, and then he had a problem like with things uploading, and then he did.
So
like,
we're the first. We win. All right, do it. Tell us what's up.
Yeah. Well, then he's gonna do a video with me, and then he ended up doing with Erin Nakamoto because she's probably a lot better looking than me. So yep. I don't blame him.
You lose.
Yeah, so I lost on that one. So this is, let me get the screen share up. It is called the SECURE Act, and it's how the SECURE Act can protect retirement for more Americans. And as we go down here's the Ackerman. Setting every community up for Retirement Enhancement Act. Doesn't that sound lovely?
That is.
And then the Senate has another legislation called, you know, the Retirement Enhancement and Savings Act. So I've gone through that one as well. And, you know, it gives them all, you know, the grim statistics.
Savings enhancement. Oh, what's the 180 of that? Savings depletion. Okay.
Oh,
that's what's coming.
You are exactly on. So let me get to the meat and potatoes of this. So there's some of the good stuff that's in the bill is they allow for more annuities to be inside of IRAs or 401ks. And that's a whole big, you know, hot button subject is annuities. Not speaking of which, you know, it's funny. Tim Gustafson just called in like 2 seconds ago. Speaking of annuities, but I told him I was on air with you. So yeah, so that's, you know, it allows for
my son-in-law.
Yeah,
deals in this stuff. Yeah.
So then, if you then move from one company to another company, it allows you to keep lifetime living benefits, which super rare. I mean, I don't know of really any. I haven't seen a single 401k that's offered living benefits. It's very widespread in the private market. Like that's what Tim Gustafson and I do a lot in that, or at least I used to, and now I'm starting to get back into that. That's either here or there. I think that's a good thing. You can now, they force you to take money out at 72 versus 70.5. Okay.
Okay. Why? Stop. That's a big deal. I remember with retirement age used to be 60, then 62, then 65. They keep changing. They want to move it up to 70. Then they're saying you got so many years or so much time until after you have to start taking your retirement 401k, IRA, whatever the hell it is, you got to take that and do something with it. Why do they do that? And what do they expect? And then, of course, they say, and you can only do these things with it. They manage all your money up to the retirement, and then how you're going to, you know, diversify and spend your retirement. Oh, and we got some tax laws to kind of encourage. Oh, and if we need more, we'll do the Secure Act. Okay, so I'm just going, when does it ever become my money?
Well, what they did is they wanted to give some carrots out here to get everybody looking over here while they screw you over here. And so the 72 is, you know, well, you know, A, people have saved nowhere near the amount that they should be saving for retirement. So they want to be able to, you know, allow people to save a little bit longer because people are working.
Now, so they can have more to get.
Yeah, a lot of the jobs numbers have been going actually to elderly people, like over 65, who should already be retired, is a lot of the job gains. But anyways, let's get into the meat and potatoes of why they're doing this. Because you said, what's the opposite of, you know, helping you save money? It's helping you deplete your money. And so what they're doing is this is the congressional version is, if you, right now, if I go and I pass away, my wife would inherit an IRA. She can then wait until she's 72, supposedly now, to have to withdraw the money. If a non-spouse inherits an IRA or 401k, they have to take out a little bit over the course of their lifetime. So if you're like in your 20s, it might only be like 1 or 2%. You know, as you start getting, you know, older and older and older, you know, it starts getting like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, when you're like 80, 90 years old, because they want the tax money, because that was pre-tax money. They want their tax revenue. They view it as their money. Now,
so if they make you start taking it out and deplete over your lifetime, they're getting whatever gains you get here. It just keeps bleeding off in taxes to the man.
Yes. However, they're getting rid of that. And what they're now saying is in the congressional version that now you've got 10 years to take out all the money. And so now in the Senate version that I've read.
Okay. When you say take out all your money, they mean what? It's not in this account. It's in what's allowed.
So let's say you've got $1 million in an IRA, your grandpa, you pass away, you go and leave it to your two kids. So now each of your kids are going to inherit $500,000. Now what they're saying is that your kids have 10 years to take out that $500,000 out of the IRA, and they can put it into something else. But what the big thing is, you're getting tax money on that, and they're getting tax money at a higher percentage.
Okay. So instead of being in the retirement, you know, over their life, they got some money from, you know, grandpa or whatever, and they just, okay, well, that's good retirement and we'll save it for, and we kind of put it in. They go, nope. Within 10 years, you got to put it in to start making us some tax money.
Exactly. So you've got 10 years to take out all the money, because now you cannot, they would used to call it a stretch IRA, because you're stretching out the payment over the course of your lifetime, which from a tax deferral and tax management standpoint does make a lot of sense. And I can even run numbers where I have like, you know, $3,000 a year software that I use to model out people's retirements, where, you know, it could show them the adverse effects of doing this, but I don't even need to run it to just know that this is a massive. So let's say the next 10, 15 years.
Okay, you got 2 minutes, so, you know, wrap it up, man. Go.
You're probably going to have like $20, $30 trillion that are going to be moving hands from the baby boomers' parents to the baby boomers, then from the older baby boomers to their children. So you're going to have all this money changing hands, and the government is going to basically force you to take all that money out of the IRA 401k system, and then so that way they can get the tax money off that. And so now the Senate version is actually saying 5 years, not 10, but it's anything over $450,000. So if you've got a $2 million 401k, basically they're making you take out $1.5 million.
Transfer of generational wealth is going to the man because they can.
And here's the thing is, too, is that now since you're taking out, let's say over 5 years, now you've got to take out, let's say you're inheriting $1 million. Now you're taking out $200,000 per year. That's going to bump you up to a much higher tax bracket, especially if the Democrats.
So it's going to be counted as income.
Yeah, it's going to be counted as income. So now you might be having to pay that like a 40% tax rate, as opposed to bleeding it out over the course.
Okay, wait. So you have retirement that was in a retirement account that wasn't taxed. You die, you give it to your children, and they go, you got to take it out. And it's not just you got to take it out and invest in something. You got to, it's whatever you're getting from that is income.
Yes. And
I mean, when you take it out, they're going, that was income for that year?
Yeah, so it was pre-tax.
Screw them, man.
So let's say you made $100,000 and you put $20,000 into an IRA. Well, I mean, the limit's 19. So let's say you put $20,000 into an IRA, or to a 401k, rather, because you can't. Now, the better thing for the government to do, if they want to really help people, would just be to get the out of this market to begin with. And what they should do is say, hey, instead of having, now the other thing this law does allow you to do is, let's say you've got a bunch of small businesses, they don't want to have the burden of getting a 401k themselves. They can then team up with maybe like 10 other businesses and pool together the resources to create one 401k. The better thing to do would be say, hey, everyone can just have, you know, put $20,000 in an IRA per year, just like you can in a 401k. And if the employer wants to give you $5,000, you can either put that $5,000 into your IRA, or you can spend it, just get out of it. Okay, there's all these fees, there's like TPA fees, which are third-party administrator fees. But one of the big things as we're wrapping up here is, since this is forcing people to take money out of the stock market, what does taking money out of the stock market do? It's gonna lower the freaking stock market. So there's definitely all these unintended consequences of all these do-gooders. And so there's a few other things in the plan. I've seen nobody talk about this. I've also seen nobody talk about the whole pension deal, about how they use the previous 25-year interest rates versus current. So both of these are basically breaking information on your show that I saved for you, that I've seen nobody talk about it. I've seen nobody.
So this is, okay, it was the death tax, okay? I remember this. When you die, you got it, and you got to pay up, and kind of we're going to get some, and your kids aren't going to whatever. This is just another version of that. You know, it's how are they going to get all of this baby boomer money that's still in stock market went up, so there's a bunch of money out there. How are they going to make it not your money and not your kids' money and their money? How? Well, they just did it.
Since time began, tyrants.
Well, they're about to do it. So the Senate version's even worse. And
well, it just showed, like you said, you know, it was everybody but three people voted for this thing. What does that tell you? You know, and then what do they, and in amongst this discussion, at the same time, you get somebody saying we got to outlaw Bitcoin because it's going to break the banking system, which is a lot of this stuff. They're going to put it at the end of, what if they buy crypto with it? Then what? You know? Yep. Then what? What are you going to do? And you, well, how do you money launder it? You go to Calvin Ayers Casino.
Speaking of which, if you want, we can play that Calvin Iyer clip right now that I did end up getting a
pull up. Yeah, let's do it.
That's right, since we are in the after show. And one other thing I want to mention is I'm going to have giveaways for people who are entering into our text opt-in list. And so I've got the code is Liberty Advisor, and the number you want to text is 71441. And
you never make it clear what the hell you're talking about. I have no idea. I take out my phone.
Yeah.
I put it in text mode. I go to text and it goes to whom and subject line of to what the exactly what you want me, the grandma just buttons I'm pushing. How does it do that? You never say that. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
So the number you're going to put into the field of who you're going to dial, or in this case, text message, is 71441.
71441 is like the phone number I'm putting in.
Correct.
71441 is the number I am sending something. But there's more. I got to put something in a subject line to something. What do I got to do?
You can just type in Liberty Advisor, one word. Liberty Advisor.
Liberty Advisor as the message to 71441?
Yes, and we're going to have...
71441 is the number. Then in the message, you put Liberty Advisor, and then what happens?
And then you then get... Then basically, it asks, like, hey, do you want to be...
I got to send, right?
Yeah, you got to
hit send. I got to hit send. So I hit send. I'm telling you, Grandma Just Buttons here. So I go... 71441 in the number, then I put Liberty Advisor in the message, and I hit send. All right, then what happens?
Then it's going to send you like basically, hey, congratulations. You
aha! It sends me a text message, right, or an email?
A text message.
Text message. It sends me a text message, and I get in this text message, and what does it say?
You have the option. You don't have to do it. It'll say the option to put in name and email if you want. And then so we'll have some raffles that will be only email. So if you want to, you know, I mean, ideally we want to be on an email list. And I let people know, like, hey, you're on. All the bad guys already have your information, but you know, so you might as well have the good guys, because I'm trying to force Josh.
Man, what do you do with these emails? How are you selling them? Who are you giving them to?
Right now, I mean, basically, it's Josh and myself are the only people that would have it. And then
what? And then Josh going to be selling it to Doug Casey? What's up?
No, actually, I haven't given him any to Josh right now. He hasn't asked.
I just need to know if I'm giving you my email and, you know, phone numbers and all this kind of stuff. Oh, the bad guy's got it. You might as well give it to this good guy that's going to sell it to the bad guy. I mean, I need to know, Mr. Zuckerberg. What are you going to do with these numbers?
We're going to put you into raffles where you can win stuff. And then as we're going live, you know, in the future, as we're coming out with new content and eventually kicked off of Facebook and eventually kicked off of YouTube, now we've got a backup method of communication.
Absolutely. I understand. Is there a privacy policy somewhere of you're going to be on Freedom's Phoenix? I got, we never, ever going to get, doesn't mean they don't get it, but we ain't helping. You know, I'm not handing it over doing. I'm like, nope, not going to happen. What's your guys' policy? And Josh, he's got, you know, 100,000+ subscribers to kind of, got a database. We want to go, we going to make some with that. What do you plan on doing with it? What's your agreement with people? I mean, you know, this is libertarian show of freedom of whatever. I don't care, but it better be freaking there and I can totally agree or not agree. What's the agreement?
The agreement is I'm updating my website completely, and then part of that will have the privacy policy of all the compliance crap that we've got to do. But I don't even send out emails to the people that are even...
I don't give a crap what you do. I want to know what your agreement is. If I have the audience. I'm sitting there, I'm walking them through. Hey, go 71441, Liberty Advisor in the message, hit send. And it goes to Goldman Sachs in 2 years, and they're going to give you blah, 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 blah. I need to know that that's not so, or at least what it is, or up front. I am not going to send these, you know, encourage people to go do this unless I know what happens with that contact. Of course, I want you to have it to be able to, I keep telling everybody, if you don't got emails and phone numbers and so on, it ain't yours. Don't think you're just going to be able to Facebook them when it counts the most or on your YouTube comment channel of whatever. We're finding that out. So I'm going, all right, so I can see the communication with this, but I know that databases is everything, especially these databases that go with your money that people with some research, oh my God, and they have crypto too. What are you going to do with the numbers, Tim?
Okay, the only thing we're doing with the numbers is if you text the Liberty Advisor, that's only going to be shared with myself, nobody else. If you text the code for, because I have different codes that go to different, they go to the different opt-in list. So one of the codes is World Alternative Media. So World Alternative Media is going to be shared with Josh and myself. If you text Liberty Advisor, that was just going to be shared with myself, nobody else. And right now, I'm just too strapped for time to even send out emails to my own people. But it's just a backup method of communication for when we're ultimately off these places because I can't stand Facebook.
And what are you going to do with the numbers in the future? Are they going to be sold? Is it a commodity? Is it I got a bunch of guys with money kind of doing who's going to get it?
The only thing that's going to get is you're going to get, you know, emails from myself once I, you know, get other people underneath me to help, you know, expand this out.
Still, so what are you, freaking a politician? Are you ever going to make that database available to anybody else? And if so, are you going to have that in, you know, the agreement of when they do it?
No, the only thing, I might feature somebody like I have, like you.
No, I don't care who you feature or what you do. No. I'm just like, who's going to get that database?
It's going to be myself is the only person that's going to have that database. And then if you text the World Alternative Media.
Okay, Liberty, I don't give a crap about that. You know, if they want, he can do whatever he wants with his thing. But if you put the Liberty, you put Liberty Advisor, yeah, you know, the Tim Pachoe, pinky swears I ain't never going to anybody, you know, by his hand of somebody didn't get bought and sold to Cambridge, whatever, the Goldman Sachs dot something. Yeah, no?
Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't know if you're done with that. Yeah, yeah, that it's only going to me, nobody else. No, I'm not for sale.
I mean, I encourage you to text 71441, Liberty Advisor. Get, you know, stay in contact with, and you get this and that. Contact isn't going to be shared with anybody else. Am I able to say that, Tim?
You are absolutely able to say that.
Okay, freaking say it then. Say it! Say it! Okay? So this is, you know, I don't like, you know, especially the people that are on, you know, it's like Donna gets, you know, a lot of people, you know, doing real estate stuff, you know, from the show and everything. They come in, I'm going, ooh, that's a database. Anybody even goes on her MLS to look and search and kind of through and kind of on DonnaHancock.com, and you go there and you can kind of see and use the tools and kind of, yeah, and, oh, that's a good database of people that went moving there. They're going to sell it. How about not? Okay? And especially for what you're doing, I can't serve them up to the industry, you know, if I know that their database is going to. So that one gets a little star. 71441, because Tim freaking said to our audience, you go do that, Liberty Advisor, you're not selling yourself down the river, so that they can maintain contact with you when you need it, because this stuff is going to be happening fast. Can I
say
that?
I think I've only sent out probably in the past 3 years to, like, not my own clients, but other people, like maybe 6 emails. And one of them one of them was the day before all the, you know what, hit the fan too. So
all right. Pretty good. You understand my point, right? I need to know this.
Well, I absolutely understand your point. Right. I've busted other people's balls on this as well, who couldn't tell me what their own app's privacy policy was or who their data was shared, because they've got some crypto to free the world. And they couldn't tell me how it worked, and it was their own deal. And so the deal is, it's going to me. I need a backup method of communication. I want to get completely off of Facebook. I had a guy yesterday pitch me on. He's like, you know what the new frontier of advertising is? You've got to brand yourself on Facebook. I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm spending money to brand myself on Facebook. So then that way I got to pay, you know, $100 a post just so the people that are following me can see the post.
Facebook is done. That model is it's done. But they have yet to. I give you a good example. We're going to Fork Fest the week before, and then Pork Fest, and then they're even talking about another week after. You know, they call it Spork Fest or some crap. You know, so we're just going to camp at Rogers all summer. Well, one thing that we're doing is we need a schedule. Well, they have the Pork Fest schedule. You kind of use that or not. And kind of, can't we just have a schedule? I've had schedules. 10 years ago, I had schedules. You know, we just had interactive people doing schedules, wiki schedules, a schedule. I don't know what the hell the problem is. They go, well, we need a calendar, and we'll go on to Google this, and we'll do. I'm going, no. You can't find, we're a decentralized thing, and you can't find a freaking, the first thing is a schedule, and you can't decentralize that. Hell, just put it on a freaking piece of paper and take a JPEG of it and change it and update it. I go, God, you're killing me. How hard is this? Well, then I take responsibility and I got to do it. I mean, if I have to, I'll just take, you know, print out a calendar and just write on it and take a picture of it. You know, boom, there's the updated one. Oh, you want me to add some more, take another picture? Then we're done again. I'm good. So what happens is, they're looking at, well, you know, it's inconvenient. And I'm going, I don't care. I'm looking for what is the beginning. Well, the beginning is we're going to go decentralized. All right, cool. We go to Pork Fest and we're going to have some fun there. I want to know up front what I'm signing into, who's getting it, where's it going, because that's the whole point. We're trying to get away from that. At the very beginning, you come up against resistance, and you're willing to, you know, sign up everybody and have all the people doing this one, you know, revolutionary act in a revolutionary act, and you want that list to the man. God, it just, you seriously, I need a default to none of the damn business. That doesn't mean they're going to get it, but I'm not going to help them, you know. In my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I do have to get going because I've got to prepare for another meeting. But before I get going, I would like to share just a couple things with, at least on the crypto side of things, where we've got, and I think you'll find this interesting too, we've got the recent fee. Right now what we're looking at is the fees for Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash. And right now we're basically at $4 average fee for Bitcoin.
No way.
Bitcoin Cash is at 0.007.
Wait. I saw, I know you said this, I saw the debate between Roger Ver and Tone Vase, and Tone's going, yeah, well, if I did, and I kind of consent and do it, he doesn't care. You know, the Bitcoin guys, they like high fees. They don't give a crap. This is not going to be your latte currency. It's just not. And they want it to be gold or some BS like that. So I'm just going, no, they're done. So just the tech, the philosophy of Bitcoin Cash just kicks the living crap out of Bitcoin. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, with everything you just said. And the Tone Vase, Roger Ver debate in Malta, I mean, Tone got absolutely destroyed, I think, in my opinion.
I'm surprised he came out as well as he did. I mean, he was smiling.
I mean, you could tell that there was a lot of things that he didn't fully know.
No,
I mean,
he didn't understand.
That he was definitely trying to BS his way through there. Speaking of BS, we could talk about BSV. And this is Calvin Iyer on Bloomberg Markets talking about why he thinks Bitcoin SV is going to basically dominate the world. So here we go.
What I am is a big proponent of regulation. I actually want regulation. And BSV, one of the reasons why I'm attracted to it is because it's actually been designed by Craig from scratch to be regulatory friendly. So in addition to massively scaling and being a stable platform following the internet model, so it's got stability enabling you to invest real application development on top of it, mm-hmm. it also is designed to be regulatory friendly.
If BSV is successful as establishing itself as the, as you say, it only needs to be one, what happens to Bitcoin and all of the other variations that are splintered off?
Sniper rifles!
Well, I think in the near term, Bitcoin, BTC can exist, but
it can exist.
If BSV scales, continues to follow its scaling roadmap, there's just no need for any of the rest, so I think they will be absorbed into BSV.
So they won't lose all their value?
I think people will cross across, and I think everything will be absorbed into BSV, the dominant chain.
Wow, this is wishful thinking. You know, they are reading off of 3x5 cards given to them by, you know, GoldmanSachs.gov reserve coin or something. You know, this is, they're trying to make it, nobody's rushing. The crypto community has not been rushing towards compliance except Bitcoin. Well, now BSV, Satoshi Vision, you know, Craig Wright, Mr. Satoshi, which it had lawsuits and that, don't pay attention to that crap. And I'm just going, this mindset is what they're counting on. They're counting on, hey, man, nobody else is for regular. We're for regular. We're going to be regulated. And I'm going, I'm not. That's not what this community is about. I'm sure there's going to be somebody wanting regulation to get regulated, and they want to pick us for regulated. But then at the same time while they're doing this, what's happening? Amazon will come up with their own. Facebook is coming up with their own. Microsoft will come up with their own. The government will come up with their own. They'll do whatever, and they're going, no, pick us. Well, they already shown themselves not to be trustworthy and, you know, how they act in the space anyway. I don't see it happening. I mean, you know, it may, but I don't care. It just doesn't matter.
And you got to love Facebook as they're calling it global coin. I mean, do you need to throw it, like, in our faces anymore?
You know, And
look what's going on with BSV right now. Very interesting that I'll be the first one to admit I did not predict this, but the past 30 days it's up almost 300%.
Of course.
BSV. So there's gotta be some, I mean, in March, yeah, I mean, it was like $60 and now it's, now it's like closing in on 300. So it's just crazy.
They're going to make a big deal if it goes past, Bitcoin Cash. They'll go, we passed Bitcoin Cash, but you got to maintain that. Now, how much money went in from where? And if it's a banking thing, a regulatory thing, they got plenty of money. Maybe institutional money coming in. We're for regulation. And I bet you they're behind the scenes, a little whisper. If I say regulation and we want, and regulation and we want, and we're with, and, you know, do the menage a trois with Uncle Sam, and we're going down, you know, and how much, how deep throat we can go. Well, what happens? It goes up. They get some money. They get some industrial, institutional investment. They come in, somebody goes, but it's such a small market cap that it doesn't matter. I mean, they could do that just because, they had some extra, spare change around, and it shoots it up. And then what will it keep to maintain it as the others start to bleed off? I don't see, it's all going to come down to the actual tech and the promise. It's just like when they do the European Union or even the United States, or you got a new candidate or something. It's always on the promise of freedom, and two chickens in every pot kind of thing. Well, BSV doesn't even promise that. You know, they're not promising anonymity. They're not promising immutability. They're not promising, security and privacy. They're not promising that. They're promising the exact opposite. So who's going to invest in that? The people that benefit. It's going to be the government and institution, but they don't benefit for long as you got competition with all the others. So what do they got to do? They've been saying, we're going to kill them. We're going to bring it in. We're going to make them illegal. And everybody laughed at them. So now he's not saying that. Well, they'll just naturally, come over to us because they'll come over to us. Oh, yeah, there's your opportunity to say, we're just going to kick the shit out of them. Well, they're not saying that anymore. Why? Because it didn't work. Nobody cared. So now it's just this BSV, of course, it's going to go up until it doesn't. And it's going to be the regulatory government approved permission slip, and that's what they're going for. Who is advocating for that? Especially when you got Bitcoin over here with Henry DeCastries is now the chairman again of Bilderberger, and it's his company, the big investment. in the Blockstream, which is the developers on Bitcoin. So I'm just going, how much deeper? I was talking to James Corbett last night about this. I'm going, you know, he's talking about conspiracies and rabbit holes you go down. And I go, I see the hole.
It's like a rabbit hole. It's like a rabbit,
cavern.
Like a divot. It's just right there. Like, you don't even have to.
I don't have to go down. I don't have to see. I see it. There it is, the rabbit hole. I need to go. I already know what's down there. So I'm just, it's whatever. So this is in crypto space. Do you think there's going to be room and development and expansion for all the things they promised me? You know, anonymity and immutability and uncensorable, blah, 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 blah. You know, is that going to be the focus, or is it going to be, yeah, grandma needs to be able to call, I lost my Bitcoin, I want it back? I mean, you know, this is, what do you think, where is it going to go, or is it going to be both?
Do you have that domain name as well? I lost my Bitcoin, grandma.
You know, I do. I have BitcoinCustomerService.com or something like that. Customer services. Somebody was doing, I go, that's a good idea. It was a race to see who could get the GoDaddy first to get it, you know?
Yeah, that's funny.
And you know they're going to be going. I put some little something landing page or something. LibertyAdvisor.com.
Yeah, I'm not going to help you out with your lost Bitcoin, but at least Craig Calvin Ayer and Craig Wright are being honest what they're trying to do. It's not like they're Congress.
They're not being honest. They're advertising. They're promoting. They're doing what they're told.
Yeah, at least it's not like Congress where they call it the Secure Act to protect your retirement when really it's going to be bleeding out, you know, your inheritance. At least you know that they're advertising.
So the
this.
Secure Act is still being in the conference committee to combine the two and get the.
However, it passed the House and now it's going to the Senate.
Well, it passed overwhelmingly. Only three voted against it. So this is going to be on Trump's desk. What's he going to do?
He's probably, this is great. We're going to help Americans. Don't take money after they're 72. This is, you know.
But he's not going to talk about the other thing of where they got to spend it and it gets into the you're not allowed to use it for second generation retirement. Because that's what's going on.
The ultra wealthy don't even have money in their IRAs and 401ks to begin with. So it's just for the little people. We have trust like the Liberty Advisor can help you out with anyways. So we don't even worry about the little people with their four, because I mean the really rich people, the percentage of their money that's in IRAs and 401ks is like nil. They don't give it. They don't care about that. That's why they can. But there's a lot of money that's in the IRAs and 401ks as an aggregate, and so we're talking 20, 30 trillion, like huge God. Number. And so they
and it's
they
still
say,
a drop
okay.
in the bucket of pain. Hell, that wouldn't even cover the debt.
And so we can get maybe let's say 30% tax rate of $20 trillion. That can fund a whole lot of bullshit. So, you know, that can, you know, they just look at it like how we can raise money, how we can raise revenue. And that's a bunch of money sitting over there. So some of your listeners were very, that took advantage of one of the things I was talking about is we had a couple people who they took their IRAs, converted some of it to a Roth IRA, bought into Bitcoin around like 3,500 sub 4,000. Now this entire ride up legally tax-free, they could, some of them were over 60, so they could actually take the money out if they wanted to tax-free. So Roth IRA, I don't think that this actually affects that. So for the people that are looking to get into crypto IRAs, I recommend doing a Roth conversion first on some of it, your strategies and how you can best get through that. But yeah, you know, get a hold of me directly at, you know, tim@innovativewealth.com. If you're interested in these strategies, go to
tim@innovativewealth.com. There's a lot of syllables in there. That's too hard. Liberty Advisor.
Yeah. So my compliance won't want me giving that out, but oh well. Yeah. So you guys can find me. You guys can schedule with me. I'm going to be in Florida next week, so I won't be getting anything done now. But you know, I'll say, you know, usually for your listeners, I was lowering the threshold down to 100,000. I'll lower it right now, 50,000, where you could have, let's say, 25 in crypto, 25 in traditional investments. Probably losing money at that, or you know, in terms of like a loss leader.
Yeah, you need to get started. I mean, you and them, we just need to get the community in on understanding what the hell's going on. Because like this Secure Act that they're doing, it's stuff like that. You don't know, and you think, you know, like I'm 50 something years old. You know, my mother's still alive. Donna's parents are still there. I have no idea what's going to happen when they go, don't look, don't care, not counting days. But, you know, there may be a couple of they did something, then what? You know, I thank you for this so I can bleed it off to the man. How about not? You know, this transfer of wealth. I got, you know, a lot of my stuff is in there. They don't know. So I'm going, well, what do I do with that? My daughters get married. Boom. There's a bunch of silver there. Yeah. Boom. There's a bunch. I got grandkids. Boom. Just start. Get it gone. Get it gone. So what are they going to do? What are they going to take? How do they even see it? You know, none to business. And you want to get none to business services? TheLibertyAdvisor.com. Tim at InnovativeWealth.com, right?
That is right. And you're talking directly with me. And I'll be honest, I'm looking to get basically bring at least another $5 million in assets. That way I can hire some other people who, and not just anybody. There's actually a guy who, believe it or not, who you actually met at Pork Fest who found out about me somehow through something or whatever. And he's like, hey, you know, I've been an anarcho-capitalist for like 5 years. And I'm so basically looking up to you. You're actually out here, you know, in the open. And basically I'm too afraid to do it. So I'm actually looking at, and like the one mutual friend we have on Facebook is, you know, Lynn Ulbrich, you know, to give you an idea of, you know, where this guy's mind is. And so, and he happens to know my business partner as well. So I would love to, you know, hire him. But, you know, they're not cheap, you know, hiring like a really good person, not just looking to hire, you know, somebody from, you know, Guatemala or something to do, you know, looking.
So if you get $5 million more in asset under asset management, that gives you a budget that you can afford and you can start to expand.
Yeah. And then once I start to expand, then it's like, now I can focus on more stuff in terms of, you know, looking at the bills of these secure acts and then basically, you know, having more of like a media operation wing underneath me where I've got people who can manage that and help explode things. And it's not about me getting bigger, exploding things. It's about trying to get this information out because, you know, it was easy to get it out on Facebook. Now that's basically dead. And so we're going to have to get creative. It's going to take money. And the little bit of money that comes my way, I've been just like you. I mean, if someone makes an investment to you, I mean, you're like a microphone that goes out to everybody else. And it's, you know, in terms
yeah.
of like,
no, Tim started. Supports by buying banner ads on the webpage. You know, and coming on the show and shares with you, I don't get like billions of dollars or anything, but I mean, you know, it's, you know, keep it in the family. But I'm telling you, this, a lot of people out there don't even understand what we're talking about. When these private keys, what the hell is that? You know, on, so this is, you know, precious metals kind of, there's a tapestry and it's going to go. I can feel, man, I feel it in my bones. It's going to, and a lot of people, even libertarians, a lot of them going, no, it's never been better. Things are great. Stock market's up. I'm going, yeah. And when does it go down? When does that ever, that's when it happens. What the hell, man? I can show you 15, because just go to, I'll show you right now before you go. This is it. You go to Freedom's Phoenix, you know, and you sit here on the top left, you know, when you scroll down underneath the top four headlines here, we got the top four right below them, then it pins to the top, and it's called Anarchives. You go down to the newsletter list, so you see what you get in your email, but contents by subject, okay? What is of interest to you now? Well, let's, you know, let's see, economy, USA, internet, well, let's do housing. I go to H, and I look up housing. So I go into housing, housing, boom. I click on that, and then I see all the news of what's going up and down and how much. And but what do? I go back to, I'm going to go back to 10 years ago, and what page would that be? I put it up here, probably be like page, I don't know, let's go, you know, page 15. Because we got, you know, 100 pages of all these. So what date does that get? There we go. 6/29/2009. Ha! I picked well. Now, you look on here, you know, agency MBS mortgages. Better read this. Wait for, you know, this real estate market. U.S. housing misery poised to enter new phase. When is it cheaper to ditch a home than pay? The revenge of the renters. New research on homeowners walking away. How bad is the recession? Check new home sales. California, Las Vegas home prices decline on foreclosure sales. Household equity falls $5.1 trillion in 4 years. Feel poorer? Robert Scherer, foreclosure fiasco. These are the same headlines that are now. It's starting right now. It's starting to drop. They're starting to have foreclosures. They have peak prices. Prices on certainly homes over 500,000 are starting to drop. You get under like, you know, 300,000, they pretty much about the same kind of. But sometimes when they hit the big bottom, like a lot of my kids, they bought into the bottom and they just started selling. They're making bank because they bought an 11. You know, it's 186,000. They sell for, you know, 200,000 more. And I'm telling you, it's coming again. This is how you want it. You just go back into the history. And you can see the headlines right now the same as it was 10 years ago. And if you don't have somebody walking you through, you don't know what's, because you don't know what's going on, and you get someone like Tim Pachote, thelibertyadvisor.com, at least get his text if he's not going to share all that information, which he said. Said, reiterate, pinky swear.
How do you do a pinky swear? I don't know. Like,
yeah, whatever, yeah, man. So just not... say it. You said it. Say it! All right.
The email is going out to me, so that way we have a backup form of communication. It's not going out to anybody else, and that's, and frankly, I don't even email. My, one of the biggest down flaws I have is that I've only emailed the people that I have, you know, probably a few times, because it's really there just backup. And as I hire other people, I'd like to be have more frequent flow of communication going on, because people are usually appreciative because I'm not spamming them. And so, you know, that's my honor to you guys. I'm only coming to you with, you know, real hard hitting information. Might there be an advertisement or two about my services in the emails?
Yes, of course.
There might be, but that's about the.
That's why I gave you my email. I need you to advertise me. Damn it.
Yeah, so that's the extent of what's going on. But there's a lot of useful information in there, and you know, like I said, one of the only emails I even sent out all of last year was like 2 days before everything started hitting the fan, talking about how we had readjusted our clients' portfolios to take advantage of what we thought was going on, and we had no phone calls when everything was crashing because our clients, you know, barely, you know, saw any volatility in their portfolios at all. So now is the time to act when everybody's complacent. You know, it's not when everybody is, you know, fearful and everything is going down.
It sure as hell time to get it set up.
Yeah, especially for the people that got into crypto early and maybe sitting on, you know, a good, decent chunk of money. Just have a conversation. Most of the people, I'm actually telling them, it's not, they're not a good fit for that. But if you're not a good fit for that, you might be a good fit for the IRA. You might be a good fit for, hey, I'm 70 years old and I want to make sure I'm not running out of money. You know, what's your advice, second opinion? You know, lots of different ways to work with us. And we're really close. I mean, $5 million, you know, it will come probably pretty quickly. And once I get to that threshold, I like to hire other people that are also liberty-minded, help blow this out. And so that way, you know, I'm just a one-man, you know, shop trying to do a lot of stuff myself.
But well, you know, that was by choice. I mean, he's kicking ass, and we first started talking to him, and we started getting in, and we saw this market for people that did exactly that. All of a sudden, it, you know, they're buying $800, $1,200 Bitcoin, and then it hit $20,000, and when it was like, I don't know, it was like $12,000 or something, they're going, Ernie, man, what the hell? And I go, Tim, what, you know, this is a whole new area. We got. So he took... paid a bunch of fines, did you just whatever, I am out of you. I gave up my series seven. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. Oh, you can't even speak at these different functions. Ah, screw you, I'm doing it anyway, get me out. And started over. And is already back up to wherever he was. Now it's kind of, but you're doing it on your own. It's time as we get a little bit bigger. You know, Tim's adding on a few more clients. So, son, it starts to grow with the community of having solutions out there of the right guys in charge. And oh, my God, he's in his 30s and an Ironman, athlete, well accomplished, very intelligent, and the right principle minded. So this is get in with it now. Who else are you going to do? Who else? We have Doug Casey on. He talks, you know, a lot about this stuff. He's got, but he's dealing with, don't talk to me unless you got a billion. We have Peter Schiff on. Yeah, where's your 5 million? You know, if you're not big, giant, tens of mid-count, they don't even care. And hell, it doesn't even matter. That's not what I'm looking for. I want to start and build for the future. I want to make sure that I get to keep what I had. I chose wisely before. I want to maintain it before it all goes away. TheLibertyAdvisor.com. So I'm just endorsing, you know, this is the community. He's already helped a lot of our friends and family. And, you know, we've had people, the audience that are going to him and doing, take advantage of it. And I haven't pushed the text thing because I want to make sure, hey, man, I'm just not doing this for your selling, going up and doing your Facebook BS. But I'm just going, it's to maintain communication. If you do 71441 and you go Liberty Advisor in the subject line or message text or whatever, boom, you send it, and then you're on. And he pink it. Now, if he has something else, I don't have a problem. You want to opt in, I want to be on every database of everything and send me and sell me to everybody, fine. You know, do a different thing or do it to Josh or click a, you know, option. Well, I don't care. It's just I want to make sure you have the option and we're not serving you up to the beast, because it's exactly you. It's the people that know that they're passing these laws and changing it to get your money. They see the biggest transfer of wealth in human history is going from senior citizens right now to people my age. It's me. It's my friends. It's, you know, from 40 to 50 something. They're going, yeah. and we're going to have to take all that and tax it in one way or another. It's going to become ours. We just passed a law. Oh, we call it the Secure Act.
Gigantic stealth tax increase, probably the biggest transfer of wealth from the people to the government, probably in the history of this country, purely on a nominal dollar basis. That's, you know, without a doubt. But a lot of people think it's going to be the baby boomers who are going to hit. That's baby boomers' money going to the next generation. You hit the nail on the head. As people like your mother, that money then going to your generation is the first step, and then it gets bled off again from your generation then to your kids. It gets bled off again to the point where there's not even going to be a whole lot of money in the
IRA. Yeah, with inflation, it never got anything. We don't get generational wealth, as if that was a bad thing. And the green socialist AOCs have kind of, you had money and you gave it to your children before you gave it to society, you scumbag. I'm like, shut up. That taxation is theft. That's why we got to get the splinter in the mind again. 2020 election cycle is going to be bringing a lot of these concepts up that people have not been exposed. Certainly people that have come in since Obama, that have gone through the university, you know, the high school and the elementary school system and the university. And it's them that, if it wasn't for the Lovelution in 7-8, they wouldn't even know what the hell we're talking about, that it even existed. And now they're coming up against reality and people are going, yeah, I think this is suck. The future is libertarianism. I tell you, that's the future, because it's America. It's the, you know, what this Constitution thing was supposed to promise.
And now they need to define what libertarianism is by hijacking what libertarianism with, you know,
Bumper Hornberger. And the guy we had on today, you know, hell, I forgot his name already. You know, Dan Berman. No, Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, you know. Hey, I'll let you go. I know you got to get going here, but
maybe I'll go run too, because I would technically be the youngest. I turned 35, I think, the week before inauguration, so technically I could run too.
You
could just as a gimmick. I think I turned like I don't know, what's inauguration day? It's like the 20th, and so I turned 35 on the 9th. So I would be just young enough.
Just made it
to tell everybody what a sham the entire system is and how, you know.
Well, make sure you get a platform to do that anyway. Just run for Congress. You know, that's one thing. 2020, we're going to have some fun.
At one point, I thought about running against Trent Franks, but then he ended up stepping down because of all that sex scandal stuff. And the new lady they have in there, she always, and I don't want to make this sound like too sexist, she reminds me of Miss Piggy. Like, whenever I look at her, I got this thinking of, what's her name, Debbie Lesko. I got this always think when I, and I could do, like, a really good Kermit the Frog impersonation. So I'd like love to have them in my back pocket of having something go viral just going up there. Because I don't know. She's just, like, all she is like, hey, let's go virtue signal out, and let's get a picture of me with the troops, and here's me with the police,
and here's me
with the firefighters.
That's a Trump thing.
Oh, here I am. I'm down at the wall, and here I am.
She latched on to Trump. That was her thing, you know. So
and I would be like, you know, I did about 1,000 times more for Trump than you did, and here's why you suck, and here's why Trump sucks, and nothing is going to change. And I can do it in the Miss Piggy voice, like Kermit Frog. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some Kermit the Frog. Go.
Kermit the Frog here.
Ah, see, there you go. That's enough. All right. Yeah, we don't want to do too much. He'll never leave the internet. All right. Peace, brother. Thanks for coming on and explaining this. I think we're all better off. You know, we just need to understand what's really going on. Because I went through this several times in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, when the savings and loan thing hit and everything. A lot of people close to me, they got nailed. Then the .com, you know, at the end of the 90s and 2000s, got nailed in that. Then we had, and I started, by that time, I started seeing the patterns. So in 03, end of 02, it's like New Year's Eve in 02, I wrote an article about, you know, housing prices and speculation and what was coming. And that, you know, years later, it unraveled exactly the way I thought it was going to happen. And now it's going to happen again. For the first time in my adult life, I have a mechanism for myself, my family, my friends, are retiring age now, with parents that are starting to, you know, a transfer of wealth to the next generation. It is the perfect time. And what do we have? 35-year-old young guy out there that's got it going on and has set this up for us at the request of us. The community is like, look, we need to have, boom, he did it. way before anybody else for just these reasons. We see it coming. It won't happen all at once. You see all the signs. There's signs everywhere, but it will happen overnight. It's all of a sudden it's going to be Monday, and then what? Are you ready? Get ready. 71441, Liberty Advisor in the message. Send. Get taken care of. Thanks, Tim.
Yep, and you're going to get the raffle this time is Colin Pape has donated 10,000 pre-search tokens. So we've got 10,000 pre-search tokens up for grabs. The last raffle we had 100 Minds tokens that I put in. And so that was 100,000 impressions. We only had like 5 people sign up. So everybody, I just had everybody win the first one. I think we got like 25 people. And luckily the guy, so I had one grand prize winner. He won 50 Minds token, which is 50,000 impressions. I mean, it's not nothing. I mean,
you know, well, this is one thing that pre-search is Colin Pape that's working, you know, helping us with the search on IPFS and this guy. So that's good that we're working with him. And I'm using pre-search now. You know, a lot of people, they see me when I got the screen up and I'm doing, you know, searches. All of a sudden, you know, it does a
pre-search. I've been using it ever since you used last on your show. It's like super gram adjust button easy. I just did an interview with him and actually Sterling Luhan, because Sterling is part of pre-search as well now. Now he's not with Bitcoin.com. So I just did an interview with them. It's up in my Podbean page. I'm trying to get about 60 more downloads, because then that will push me up to like the highest level I've been at from a download standpoint. So I'm just trying. Actually, I think I'm already at the highest, but I just want to get 60 more to be a nice even number. But yeah, so that's
highest downloads of what? On where? What are you talking about?
On my most monthly downloads. It's a very small number, but I still want to get, you know,
downloads. Where? What are you talking about?
Like MP3 downloads for my
from
show. From either like Podbean or iTunes.
Okay, so
or
these
Google
other.
All right.
That's another thing we need to talk about. We haven't put any of our MP3s on any of these podcast feeds, and I've been holding that because it's another one that they go after, and I'm kind of like being low key.
Well, you're on iTunes, so
iTunes, but I'm not on, you know, every freaking 50 billion of the whatever the hell everybody else does, you know. But yeah, we'll talk about it, you know. But I'm been really conscious of not being, you know, silenced, and we're just now. It's amazing that we're able to do these live streams on YouTube and Facebook and everything. Still, they haven't stopped us there yet. I thought I wouldn't make it past them, but they are. They really have come after our emails. You know, emails are heavily spam, censored. Do you sure they're death, dying, and destruction on the list of whatever the hell?
Why do you think there's a rhyme and reason is why I'm doing the text opt-in? So I've got the text and the emails, because that's very hard for them to censor the text. And there's going to be other platforms I use where I can take the numbers and text from like a different platform, those numbers. But anyways, the last thing I'll share is, so here's a picture of Debbie Lesko, and then we've got Miss Piggy. I think. The only difference is Miss Piggy is probably better looking, I guess, might be the only.
What are you, Trump? Horse face!
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that was the exact reason why I liked Trump, because like all the things that people don't like about him, I'm like, well, those are actually the things I like about him. And then like all the BS that they drag out about Russian collusion, I'm like, there's so much real stuff here. Can we at least talk about the real stuff that's wrong with Trump, not, you know, all this made up crap that people will like want to glom onto? Like now Justin Amash wants to get all these points for, you know, saying Trump should, you know, go down.
That's just a game. You know, it's part of the Bill Weld Council on whatever the hell, Coke the Puss, Cato. That's just part of the tapestry of we're all against God. And then Adam, you know, is kind of buying into that with Weld and doing it. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you guys, peace. You guys just keep doing it. I'll go to the taxation is theft guy and Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, and we'll argue what a real libertarian is. That's awesome. I just bring it on. I don't care. So this is.
I just listened to that Kokesh show right before I came on today. So I didn't listen to the previous guest from today, but I did listen to that. I did like it. But I do have to get going now. And actually, Tim wants to get your son in law, so we give him a quick call. And I've got another meeting.
All right. Go, 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 go. Peace, brother. Peace. Thanks.
All right. Later, guys.
Bye.